Hey, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Saturday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers lose their fifth in a row for the second time this season. This one hurt pretty bad. That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, sometimes on weekends, Andy. Always free, never behind a paywall. Lakers just not making it worth you having to pay to hear the analysis. Lakers lose 120-114, fifth straight loss. Second time this season, they've only played 12 games, Andy, and for the second time this season, they've lost five straight.
That's impressive in its own right.
It kind of is. And it does make you feel encouraged that they might win their next two, because that's the pattern. No LeBron James, who sat out with the adductor injury. Anthony Davis, who was questionable because of the illness that's been going around, the pox. He did play. And we're going to talk about that. But nonetheless, the Lakers lose. And Darvin Ham said after the game that even without LeBron, this was felt like a very winnable game, and he is correct. And they lost, and now they're 2-10.
Yeah, it was absolutely winnable. The Kings went on an 8-0 run, I believe, over the last 2.5 minutes of the game. They closed the first half on another run over basically about the last 50 or so seconds.
The Lakers gave up 11 points, I believe it was, in the last minute of the second half.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're a team like the Lakers, obviously playing from this place of small margins for error at full strength, much less when you are shorthanded, you cannot afford to crap away opportunities or just close that weakly. And look, like, down the stretch of this game in the fourth quarter, De'Aaron Fox absolutely took over. You know, he was hitting mid-range jumpers, often matched up against AD, who was legitimately challenging these shots well. I mean, he was just in
Lakers
one
had
of
no,
those
Lakers
zones.
Had no answer. Didn't right. matter the defender. Didn't matter. Lakers had no answer for De'Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, you can get into the idea of whether they should have been looking to trap him, get the ball out of his hand, all that stuff. But it was one of those situations where the Kings had somebody hot down the stretch, and Fox had a good game. Period. Mm-hmm. And the Lakers were unable to consistently answer. And, you know, this obviously raises that fourth quarter question that we've been talking about with Anthony Davis.
We'll get to that in a second. Hold that thought. Finish what you're talking about, because I think the AD thing is separate from that.
Well, it is and it's not, but either way,
it's a different read. I have thoughts, but finish what you were saying about Fox.
I was just going to say that they had no ability to match what Fox was doing for reasons we will discuss, and it just becomes that much more stark what they are up against when they can't stop the go-to player on a sub-500 team.
It was to me like you watched De'Aaron Fox down the stretch and you're reminded, like, the Sacramento Kings in this game, they certainly had a post-president Domantas Sabonis, who had a really nice game, 21 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. He did what Sabonis tends to do in these games. You know, you got Herter on the wing. You got the Lakers didn't have anybody who could generate that sort of cloggy fourth quarter offense. Somebody who could put the ball on the floor and kind of get into space to create things, whether for himself or for other things. It was, you know, you look at like Westbrook, who's probably the best option they had for that kind of thing. Very strange box score for Russell Westbrook, who was 6 of 17 overall, which isn't great, obviously. 4 of 7 from three, which means he was 2 of 10 from inside the arc. So the The idea
he's missing a lot of bunnies.
He did. The whole team had had some bunny opportunities that they missed. And, you know, we went into this game. We said on Thursday's show, like, Anthony Davis got to take over this game. Anthony Davis needs to figure out a way to will this team to victory. And the fourth quarter came along, and I was kind of like, okay, we're going to see what this is. And I think he had a bucket, might have had two. I think he had one in the fourth. And I was ready, if you'd have told me before the game, Anthony Davis would have one fourth quarter basket in a game the Lakers sort of lost late, I would be ready to torch the guy. But watching it, the Kings did what you would expect, which is at the hint that AD might get anywhere near the ball, it was at least a double and often a triple in terms of the amount of attention that he got from Sacramento's defense. And the Lakers could not figure out how to counter that. They couldn't figure out how to get the ball to Davis in a decent place on the floor or figure out a way to generate offense somewhere else to force the Kings to play them more honestly. And like, this to me was sort of a microcosm of part of the problems they've had all year, which is they're a lousy offensive team with limited capacity to create and to score outside of their star players. And if you can't get your star player the ball, and Anthony Davis can't give it to himself, then you have to have a plan B. And the Lakers just couldn't do it. I was ready to thrash AD in a post game. I'm not going to do it because I don't think it was really him.
No, I mean, yeah, I guess in the sense that he can't get himself the ball, and you are correct that he was getting doubled at minimum down low all the time. I do think though the Lakers were very uncreative in the way they were trying to get him the ball. Like,
absolutely.
They were making no attempts to get him the ball up high, run some type of screen and roll action, something that could get him downhill, knowing that you've got DeMontis Sabonis with five fouls. I don't think they took any type of advantage of trying to get that sixth foul on Sabonis. I also thought they did themselves no favors, or really Darvin Ham did the team no favors down the stretch, playing Patrick Beverley, who has become such an offensive liability non-factor that unless he has a specific defensive assignment out there of importance, and he was not being put on De'Aaron Fox, which is fine. I don't think he's the right defender for Fox anyway.
Yeah,
right. I don't know why he was out there, because they already had Russell Westbrook. And I mean, this is something I was texting you this down the stretch of the game. You already have Russell Westbrook and Austin Reeves out there as ball handlers. Patrick
and Lonnie
Beverley,
Walker. Walker.
I would have had either Max Christie, who is, if nothing else, more dynamic if an unestablished scorer, or Troy Brown, who did not have a great offensive game in this one, but if nothing else is reliable with cutting, has been better offensively over the course of the season. I'm acknowledging these are imperfect options for Darvin, but I don't think Darvin did a great job in this game of trying to maximize the opportunities there. And again, like, just after a while, you are making this too easy by just putting AD down low, parking him, and inviting everybody to just hang all over him.
I'll go back. I mean, I'd have to go back, and not to sound like the head coach, I got to go back and look at the tape. But I mean, there were times when, you know, they tried to run something up high. Maybe they could have done more of it. But it's also too, it's like if the other team is dedicated to making sure, and this is the argument that a lot of people, whether on Twitter and the post game show on Spectrum Sportsnet, they were arguing about the Lakers in terms of Fox, is like, we'll do something to get the ball out of his hands.
Yeah.
The difference is, I think, with Sacramento, I understand, like, you know, if you start aggressively trapping, first of all, I don't think the Lakers are, you know, kind of unified enough right now to do that sort of thing well defensively. But if you start aggressively trapping, doing all this, you're going to find yourself in a situation where you're giving up open shots, because Sacramento's got enough talent on the floor to make you pay. I'm not saying they shouldn't have tried it, but I it was the contrast to me in the construction of what was on the floor that really stuck out. And, you know, you could be right that they could have done different things with AD. You know, certainly I agree with you that they weren't creative about how they responded. The Lakers, you know, they stood very still when AD had the ball. They didn't know what to do. They used so much time in the shot clock trying to figure out how, like, they had more late clock shots even than
that's, but that's in part standards. Because they're just trying to figure out the perfect angle for some post entry to AD.
Nobody's moving. They were so, it looked like they were so tied up in trying to figure out how to get AD the ball that it was just a wreck. And star in theory needs to lead you to victory in this case, but there are times when the other team is going to, it should have been easier to counter that because the defense was so heavily weighted towards AD, and yet the Lakers offense still had no answer, in part because can't shoot.
With a player that is, I want to make it clear, I'm not saying that there were obvious answers for Darvin Ham in this game because he's not working with an ideal roster, even with LeBron's available, much less if he's not. All I'm saying is for a player that is as versatile as AD, it seems like you should be able to go about trying to do this, even if it doesn't work. To do it in a wider variety of ways than they did.
Yeah, and look, I'd have to go back and rewatch it. And I gotta be honest with you, I got better things to do on my weekend. But they're 2-10, Andy, and they've got Brooklyn coming in on Sunday. LeBron feels unlikely to play in that game, although I guess there's more of an impetus for him to try. Apparently, he was sort of getting up shots Thursday and Friday, but not moving much. And you got to be real careful here. The math here is already starting to work against the Lakers. If you feel like, let's say, like at this point, it's like, how can you get to 10? You know, the 10 seed in the Western Conference. Give yourself a chance to be in a play-in and see what, and even have a prayer. What do you think the record is going to need to be? Somewhere around 500, probably, right? Give or take. So let's say if you say it's 500, the Lakers are 2-10. You got to play 8 games over 500 in the next 70 games.
Maybe. I mean, they're only 3.5 games right now behind the 10 spot. So, I mean,
it's I'm talking about, like, if you feel like the final record is going to be somewhere in, you know, around 500. Point being, they got to start winning some games and they got to do it quickly. And this was one that really hurts because it was a very winnable game.
Yes, it was.
Very winnable.
Yes, it was.
And now it puts that much more of an onus on Sunday, potentially without LeBron, to avoid starting next week at 2-11, which is just staggeringly bad.
Yes, it is. Anyway. They currently are tied for the worst record in the league.
Mm-hmm.
They also currently have the second worst point differential in the league. Thank God for the Pistons.
It's a bad team.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it can't get better, but it is currently a bad team.
Yeah.
And, you know, Darvin is playing playoff rotations in part, very short benches, very short rotations in part, because he clearly only believes or trusts like 5 guys on this roster. And maybe 2 or 3 more that are currently in street clothes. Andy, I do want to let you know before we go that betonline.net, because you'd been asking, betonline.net is your number one source for betting info, stats, news, and analysis. What is my number one source, you'd ask me? It's betonline.net. You can get the greatest and latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer to esports. They've got it all on betonline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, which presumably you're listening to this on a Saturday, presumably you do, you can find those at BetOnline as well. We're all, always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Locked On Lakers also brought to you by Masterclass. If you're looking to learn new skills, sharpen your mind, gain some insights or savvy in like fields or interests that you've always thought like these are outside my wheelhouse, but I'd love to know more. Like, where do I find that knowledge? How do I even start? It's simple. Masterclass. With Masterclass, you can learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, at your own pace. You can learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, improve your business skills from Bob Iger, learn cooking from Gordon Ramsay. Over 180 classes from a range of world-class instructors. The thing you've always wanted to do is closer than you think. And Masterclass is accessible on your phone, web, smart TV, offering classes in a wide variety of topics, all taught by world-class instructors at the top of their fields. Each class is broken out into individual video lessons, usually around 10 minutes long. Members can explore at their own pace, and each class is supported by downloadable materials, class guides, recipes, and more. An annual membership starts at only $180 a year, and I highly recommend you check it out. This holiday, give one annual membership and get one free. Go to masterclass.com/lockedon today. That's masterclass.com/lockedon. Terms may apply.
All right, we'll see everybody on Monday.
Monday.